the studios of Radio Sai in Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. Emotion is one of the most common driving forces behind motivation, whether it is positive or negative. Mr. Paul Ekman, an American psychologist who is very famous for his study of emotions, he actually created an atlas of emotions with more than 10,000 facial expressions. Yep, you heard me right. 10,000 facial expressions. And his research has led him to categorize emotions under 6 basic categories. Anger, disgust, fear, happiness, sadness, and surprise. Our beloved Swami says that there are 6 inner enemies waiting to disturb you in your spiritual path. What are they? Kama or desire, Krodha or anger, Lobha or greed, Moha or attachment, Mada or pride, and Matsarya or jealousy. And these 6 traits are called the Arishat Vargas. If a person is virtually a prisoner of these 6 passions, then his life is totally governed by destiny. So it's obvious that we need to become the master of our passions and desires to have a smooth sail across the ocean of life. And today, let us talk about one of these emotions, the one common emotion that is talked about by Mr. Paul Ekman and the Sanatana Dharma. So dear listeners, today we are talking about anger and how to channel it in the right way. So here are some questions to get you thinking about our topic today. What is anger? Why do we get angry? How does anger affect us? Now, is anger all bad? How can we deal with anger? And finally, how do we get rid of anger? So I will leave you to ponder upon all these questions with an energetic bhajan by Ms. Dana Gillespie. And dear listeners, all the bhajans that you will be listening today are by Ms. Dana Gillespie from her albums Dream On, Interview, One to One, Universal Bhajans, Mata Mata, and Sing Out.
Yeah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Here is a beautiful story to illustrate a common issue: losing our temper. And this story is aptly titled, Why Do We Shout? So a saint was once visiting a river to take bath, and he found a group of family members on the banks shouting in each other, in anger at each other. He turned to his disciples, he smiled and asked, Why do people in anger shout at each other? Well, the disciples thought for a while, and one of them said, Because we lose our calm, we shout. But why should you shout when the other person is just next to you? You can as well tell him what you have to say in a soft manner, asked the saint. The disciples gave some other answers, but none of it satisfied the saint. Finally, the saint explained, When two people are angry at each other, their hearts distance a lot. To cover that distance, they must shout to be able to hear each other. The angrier they are, the stronger they will have to shout to hear each other to cover that great distance. Now, what happens when two people love each other? They don't shout at each other, but they talk softly because their hearts are very close. The distance between them is either non-existent or very small. And the saint continued explaining, When they love each other even more, what happens? They do not speak. They only whisper. And they get even closer to each other in their love. And finally, they need not even whisper. They only look at each other, and that's all. That is how close two people are when they love each other. And then the saint, he looked at his disciples and said, So when you argue, do not let your hearts get distant. Do not say words that distant each other more, or else there will come a day when the distance is so great that you will not find the path to return. So well, dear listeners, I'm sure there is a great lesson in this story for each and every one of us. So next time, when you're angry with your parents or spouse or kids or friends, take a moment and think.
Shoulder give out, love on each shoulder.
Welcome back to your listeners. So let's get back to the questions that we had discussed a while ago. That is, what is anger? Why do we get angry? How does anger affect us? Is anger all bad? How can we deal with anger? And how do we get rid of anger? So, the first question is, what is anger and why do we get angry? Well, one thing we all know is that anger is a natural emotion. Every human being experiences anger. That said, it is also seen as an unwanted or an irrational emotion. Now, experts say that anger is a primary emotion which has evolved as a way of surviving and protecting ourselves from wrongdoing. You know, some people get so angry, they can literally feel its physical effects on their bodies. Have you ever heard anyone say, "Ah, it makes my blood boil"? Well, that's because that is how anger literally physically makes them feel inside. So what happens? Well, to be angry, there has to be first a trigger. Now, that can be anything. Something not going according to the plan. Someone scolding us or being rude to us. Someone at work not completing their tasks. Or something as small as someone, a person cutting the queue in front of us. So when something does not happen according to the way we want it, our immediate reflex is to question that which is out of balance as we see it. So physically, this is what happens. When something triggers our anger emotions, in the brain, the amygdala, that is a part of the brain that deals with emotion, is going crazy. It wants to do something, and the time between a trigger event and a response from the amygdala can be as small as a quarter of a second. Now, but at the same time, blood flow is increasing to the frontal lobe. Now, the frontal lobe part of the brain, this is the part of the brain that is over the left eye. And this area controls reasoning. And it is likely this, that the increased blood flow to the frontal area that is keeping you from hurling a vase across the room every time you're irritated. Because these areas generally balance each other out pretty quickly. According to some research, the neurological response to anger lasts for less than 2 seconds. And that is why a lot of advice on anger management, they say to count to 10 anytime you're angry before you take any decision or before you do something. Now, more than just an emotion, anger is an energy. And just like everything else, and just like all forms of energy, it can never be destroyed, but it can be dissipated, it can be transmuted, or transformed into something more positive, calming, and beneficial for us. In fact, Swami has mentioned this in the discourse in 1972 during the summer showers, and he said, "Without controlling the senses, we cannot attain happiness in any walk of life or endeavor." If we just let go our senses, that is anger, in a wild fashion, the result will be sorrow and joy. Today, we are not paying proper attention to the control of senses. Some people are under the misapprehension that they miss the very essence of life if they control their senses and deny themselves the pleasures that the senses bring. This is a mistaken idea. We should not think that we are controlling or restraining the senses. The real meaning and significance of this process is not that we are restraining the senses from performing their functions, but that we are directing and regulating them along proper channels. Thus, we shall be able to enjoy the real delight of the mind and the real pleasure of the spirit. So, dear listeners, now we understand what is anger and why we get angry. Now, let's discuss how it affects us. Off for the next song. Oh, Welcome back, dear listeners. Have you ever heard the age-old saying, what you think, so you become? So let's take this and apply to people who are perpetually angry. Now, we all know someone who always seems to be angry. They're always upset with something to the point that their entire worldview is angry. And these people, they likely use the words, always and never in describing their anger, like, you're always late and I never get promoted. Now, this suggests that there is no solution and there's no reason to healthily express the anger that they're feeling. Angry people may have built up years of expecting to be disappointed and frustrated by events around them. These people react more angrily to even small stressful events. But in doing so, they create even more reasons to be angry. So individuals with higher anger, they experience higher levels of family conflict and lower levels of social support because of the effect their anger has on those around them. You have also likely observed that some people are more prone to get aggressive and violent. Now, several things may be behind that short temper, including genetics, traumatic experiences, society pressure, and environmental stress. But either way, the effects of being constantly angry is very degrading to a person and the people around them. So let us look at it at a deeper level now. As we all know, anger is just another form of energy. And if we have too much of this energy within us, what does it do? Well, as everything is at its core, it is most certain that this anger energy we feel will continue to influence and affect everything else in our lives that we come to contact with. For example, being constantly angry will affect the way we behave around people. And this, in turn, will affect the way they react and respond to us. It will also create such a negative energy that everyone will always feel that they don't want to be around such a person anymore. Because the energy we exude when you are angry. And this energy, it will then affect the way we do things and the way we see things. And as we spoke earlier, angry people always see the world from the shades of an angry person. Now everything to them would be unfair, everything to them would be unjust and not right. The only way to change this perception would be to first transmute and transform that energy, that anger energy, into something more positive. And that is very important.
Namo 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 Shivaya. Brahma Vishnu Sura Chitaya. Om Namo 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 Shivaya.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Now, here is a case study that we found online by Carol Kurtz-Walsh. It's called Harnessing Anger's Energy. Now, the author says, when we harness our anger, it becomes like a horse held in its reins by its rider. With an experienced rider, the horse becomes focused, directed, and powerful, full of positive energy. You know, most of us, we deal with anger in either two extremes. We either suppress it or we allow it to explode like a volcano. And both of this is really not recommended solutions, although we constantly fall into either of these categories. So the spiritual use of anger's energy lies in the middle ground, in our ability to harness anger's steam and to use it to propel us in our spiritual journey. So when we release this energy from anger gently and gradually, it is like a softly whistling valve from a tea kettle, discharging steam to warn us of the rising heat and pressure. It is not destructive. We can be like the whistling tea kettle and use the energy in anger in a productive way. So coming back to the case study, two people, Emma and Hall, are a perfect example of a couple who have learned how to deal effectively with anger. Now, Hall was a workaholic who rarely paid attention to Emma and to the children or to the home. He felt that all he had to do for the family was provide a good income. Now, Emma wanted more of an emotional connection with her husband and was angry that she was not receiving it. And however, Emma was not aware of this anger because her family never allowed anger to be expressed. Emma came from a religious family that believed anger was a sin and that if people prayed hard enough, anger would go away. Emma became so good at suppressing her anger that she could no longer identify the feeling. And however, as often the case, her anger energy caused physical and emotional problems for her. The power of our anger turned into depression and high BP. Now, Hall, on the other hand, was terrified of anger because his rageful father had physically abused him. The hardest part for Hall was that he never knew the cause of his father's anger because it was never discussed at home. Hall's fear of anger led him in part to marry Emma, subconsciously knowing that she would not express her anger. In Hall's and Emma's marriage, the dynamic around anger was even more complex because even though Hall was afraid of anger, his father had taught him to deal with his fears by using rage as a means to control. And this terrified Emma, who became more emotionally distant, fearful, and filled with self-blame. To hide her anger at Hall from him and herself, she turned her anger inward and blamed herself for Hall's anger and his inability to be emotionally available. It is often said that anger turned inward becomes depression. Well, stay tuned, dear listeners. We will continue with this case study after a short musical break.
Thank you. Krishna Jai Gopala Krishna Jai Govinda 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 Gopala Jai
Govinda Krishna Jai Gopala Krishna Jai Govinda 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 Gopala Jai
Krishna Krishna Sai Krishna Govinda Krishna Gopala Krishna Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, Govinda 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 Gopala Jai,
Govinda Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, Govinda 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 Gopala Jai,
Krishna Madhava Sai Narayana, Govinda Govinda Narayana, Krishna Jai Govinda 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 Gopala Jai
Govinda Krishna Jai Gopala Krishna Jai Govinda 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 Gopala Jai
Krishna Krishna Sai Krishna Govinda Krishna Gopala Krishna Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, Govinda 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 Gopala Jai.
Govinda Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, Govinda 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 Gopala Jai.
Ishva Madhava Sai Narayana, Govinda Govinda Narayana.
Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So, talking about the case study of Emma and Hall, Emma, who always suppressed her anger, and Hall, who always expressed it in rage. Now, we know that neither Emma's nor Hall's way of dealing with anger are healthy or productive. As individuals on a spiritual journey, we have a whole spectrum of feeling, both positive and negative. We must become as aware of our anger as we are of our joyous feelings. We must understand and acknowledge anger's source and deal with the feelings in an emotionally healthy manner. We must learn that the feelings of anger, frustration, irritation, annoyance, they all come to us as messages from our inner selves, and as such have to be honored and not ignored. So therefore, the first step in dealing with anger is to recognize its existence. It means that we must just hold on to our anger for a moment in order to be clear as to what is causing it. And next step in dealing with anger is to realize that anger is like an onion with many layers. When we peel back the layers and truly explore our anger, we realize that it is often a result of subtler feelings that lie just beneath the surface anger. The underlying layers of feelings are those could be like of shame, of doubt, of fear and longing, or even more subtle feelings such as sadness and loneliness. Because anger contains such powerful energy, it is often the first feeling to be recognized, and therefore the skin or the coating that covers over many more subtle feelings. And once we peel away the tough skin of anger by effectively dealing with it, we are free to discover the softer layers of feelings hidden beneath the surface. So now going back to our case study. So Emma was finally able to recognize her anger. However, in order to truly understand and work with it in her marriage, she had to peel back the layers to discover specifically what she was angry about. And when she did that, she realized that she was very lonely and had a tremendous longing for a loving and emotionally connected relationship with her family. And underneath that longing, she was also experiencing sadness, which resulted in hurt and a feeling of hopelessness, hopeless that it could ever be achieved. So finally, with a lot of hard work, Emma learned to state her feelings in a healthy way to Hall. She would use sentences that expresses her feelings without giving in to the frustration and anger that used to come out very strongly. And anger stated in this manner, especially done with a very emphatic yet loving voice, is powerful. And yet it does not carry with it the shaming or the hurtful content of the volcanic anger. So when Emma and Hall were able to exchange their anger in this constructive way by verbalizing and listening to each other, their marriage began to heal. So dear listeners, just like Emma and Hall, we all have been in such situations before with many different types of relationships. It can be with our friends, our parents, our co-workers, or even our siblings. The key to understanding anger is to ensure that we do not allow it to control us. Instead, watch anger and see where it is stemming from. There is always an underlying cause behind it. And here is a little story to help us understand this better, and we will get to this story of Mr. Yashiko, a wealthy samurai warrior from ancient Japan, after this musical break.
Krishna, 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 Krish
Welcome back, dear listeners. So here is a beautiful story. It's the story of Yoshiko, a wealthy samurai warrior in ancient Japan. Now, he cut a fine figure. His armor and sword were of the finest workmanship. His ornaments were of the finest variety, silver, copper, gold, and bronze. He lived with his wife and elderly mother in an elegant tiled house in the best quarter of the town. He frequently drank the rarest and finest of teas and often dined in the most expensive restaurants. His wife Ayako was considered the most beautiful woman in the kingdom, and his aged mother was much celebrated for her wisdom and learning. So life was good for Yoshiko. He had a handsome salary from the emperor, regular revenue from his many properties, and a hefty stake in a porcelain trading business. But even all this wealth was not enough for a man like Yoshiko to keep him from getting bored, which was uncomfortably often. The proud and greedy samurai decided to start a money-lending business for poor people. After all, it takes money to make money, thought Yoshiko. You never know when a rainy day or a water flood or the wind dragons may come and wipe everything away. Life is at best uncertain. A day is bound to come when more money will be needed than what is presently being returned to be by my investments. The poor are always with us, and the poor always need money. I can charge them a high rate of interest and not have to lift a hand. What a clever way to make some extra cash. I wish I had thought of it long ago. Why? Money lending is practically a license to mint money. I shall begin my new enterprise at once. Now, looking down at the dogs, Michiko, a poor fisherman, had experienced an unlucky year with his business. Regretfully, he took out a sizable loan from Yoshiko so he could feed his wife and children. A year later, the loan had not been repaid. The proud samurai strapped on his deadly sword and he strode off to find the fisherman to collect what was his due. "I will show him who is the boss," thought Yoshiko. "One look at my sword and he will come running with the money." Now, upon seeing Yoshiko marching forcefully towards him, full of his own importance, the racked fisherman bowed humbly before the proud samurai. "Oh, revered sir, great samurai, noble warrior, it has been a very bad year again for me. I do not have sufficient funds to repay you." "What?" shouted Yoshiko furiously. "After all this time, you scoundrel! After all the time and patience I have shown you, a whole year has gone by and you cannot even show me a single yen in repayment. I am going to kill you." And he drew his sword. Fearing his life was about to end, the fisherman spoke up. He said, "Revered sir, for some time now I have been studying martial arts. One of the lessons my master has taught me is that you should never strike anyone when you are angry." Thought Yoshiko, "this is a clever fellow." Just to be on the safe side, he lowered his sword. "Your master is wise," said Yoshiko carefully, "and I myself, as a student of the art of the sword, have heard that lesson many times. To be honest with you, O fisherman, I have such a temper that I often act without thinking. I tell you what I will do. You shall have another year to repay your debt. And if you do not repay me in one more year, I will come and take your life away." "Thank you, kind sir," murmured Michiko, bowing low. So Yoshiko composed himself and walked away, his honor intact. By the time he had dined out at his favorite restaurant and arrived home, it was nearly midnight. Seeing no lights in his house, he crept in quietly, not wishing to wake the servants or disturb his wife and his aged mother. As he entered the house, he lit the bronze oil lamp in the hallway, and there he saw his wife whispering secretly to a strange man in the darkened living room at the end of the hall. "What is the meaning of this insult?" shouted Yoshiko. Swiftly he drew his sword, ready to kill them both instantly. And just then, the words of the fisherman echoed in his fevered brain. "Never strike when you are angry." So Yoshiko paused and took a deep breath. Then his wife lit a candle. And to his amazement, he found himself face to face with not only his wife, but his beloved mother too, who was dressed like a man in his warrior clothing. "What is the meaning of all this? Are you both completely crazy? Is this a joke? I almost killed the two of you. I demand an explanation immediately," shouted Yoshiko. "Oh, revered husband," his wife said, "you, my lord, as a samurai, are the guardian and the sole protector of this house. Because you had not returned by dark, mother and I were afraid. So we decided to dress mother up like in your clothes, to to keep the intruders away. "Oh my God, my ancestors," wept Yoshiko. He shivered at the thought that because of his terrible temper, he had nearly killed what he loved most in the world, his beloved wife and his adoring mother. A year later, Yoshiko went to see the poor fisherman down at the docks. And Michiko, upon seeing the samurai walk towards him, bowed humbly before him. "It has been an excellent year's fishing, my lord. Please accept the money I owe you, plus the interest." "Keep your money, dear man," replied Yoshiko gently. "You don't know it, but your debt was paid long ago." A beautiful story about what can happen if you act in anger, and what could be averted just by controlling that anger for a few seconds.
Chandrasekhara,
Vasudevam Chandrasekhara.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Our most beloved Bhagwan has said the following on anger. Swami says, one's anger is one's greatest enemy and one's calmness is one's own protection. One's joy is one's heaven and one's sorrow is one's hell. Assume silence when you are invaded by anger, or remember the name of the Lord. Do not try to remind yourself of things which will inflame anger more, because that will do incalculable harm. A man consumed by anger can never be free of misery. For the decline in human qualities today, pride and anger are primarily responsible. As Carol Kurtz, the psychotherapist who did the case study, as he said, the true growth derived from anger is about our ability to embrace our anger and then incorporate it into our being as a truly honored part of ourselves. To grow as emotionally and spiritually mature individuals, we must grab the brilliant fire, the potent energy embodied in anger, and utilize it as a source of eternal energy and positively directed power. So dear listeners, let us learn to turn this negative energy into something more positive that will propel us towards this journey inwards. Well, dear listeners, do you have a story or a personal account on anger and how you had managed it? Share it with us by writing to listener@radiosai.org, that is listener at radiosai.org, with the title Anger Management for Love to Love, and we will share it on air next week. So let us all learn and share our experiences, for that is the only way we will truly understand how to successfully manage our negative qualities. And with that, dear listeners, this is Chandra Vijay signing off with a prayer that may all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy. Jai Sai Ram.
full of waves of love that permeate the whole body. Hark the sweet music of love that swells and sweetens the heart. Before the throne of love, reason falls silent. Leave behind all words, all speech, each moment, each breath is a treasure. The foundation of the created world is love. All motion and activity throughout the universe derive from the rays of light, and true perfection must be found through love.
I'll take you. together. Shakti Om Shakti Shiva Shakti Om Om Shakti Om Shakti Om Shakti Shiva Shakti Om Om Shakti Om Shakti Om Shakti Shiva Shakti Om Om Shakti Om Shakti Om Shakti Shiva Shakti Om There's only one religion And that's the one of love There's only one creation Below and above One reality